10 hours, 30 minutes, ephemeris time. Dr. Johnson was right. I had only one pill, and I don't remember any dreams. The condemned man also ate a hearty breakfast. Oh, cut that out. Back at the telescope, now the Earth's halfway across the disk, passing well north of center. In 10 minutes, I should see the moon. I've just switched to the highest power of the telescope, 2,000. The image is slightly fuzzy, but still fairly good. Atmospheric halo very distinct. I'm hoping to see the cities on the dark side of Earth. No luck. Probably too many clouds. A pity. It's theoretically possible, but we'd never succeed. I wish... Never mind. 10 hours, 40 minutes. Recorder on slow speed. Hope I'm looking at the right spot. 15 seconds to go. Recorder fast. Damn, missed it. Doesn't matter. The recorder will have caught the exact moment. There's a little black notch already in the side of the sun. First contact must have been about 10 hours, 41 minutes, 20 seconds, ET. What a long way it is between Earth and Moon. There's half the width of the sun between them. You wouldn't think that the two bodies had anything to do with each other. Makes you realize just how big the sun really is. 10 hours, 44 minutes. The moon's exactly halfway over the edge. A very small, very clear-cut, semicircular bite out of the edge of the sun. 10 hours, 47 minutes, 5 seconds. Internal contact. The moon's clear of the edge, entirely inside the sun. Don't suppose I can see anything on the night side, but I'll increase the power. That's funny. Well, someone must be trying to talk to me. There's a tiny light pulsing away there on the darkened face of the moon. Probably the laser at Imbrium Base. Sorry, everyone, I've said all my goodbyes, and I don't want to go through that again. Nothing can be important now. Still, it's almost hypnotic. That flickering point of light coming out of the face of the sun itself. Hard to believe that. Even after it's traveled all this distance, the beam is only 100 miles wide. Lunacom's going to all this trouble to aim it exactly at me, and I suppose I should feel guilty at ignoring it, but I don't. I've nearly finished my work, and the things of Earth are no longer any concern of mine. 10 hours, 50 minutes. Recorder off. That's it until the end of Earth transit, 2 hours from now. I've had a snack, and I'm taking my last look at the view from the observation bubble. Sun's still high, so there's not much contrast. But the light brings out all the colors vividly, the countless varieties of red and pink and crimson, so startling against the deep blue of the sky. How different from the moon. Though that, too, has its own beauty. Strange how surprising the obvious can be. Everyone knew that Mars was red, but we didn't really expect the red of rust, the red of blood, like the painted desert of Arizona. After a while, the eye longs for green. To the north, there's one welcome change of color, the cap of carbon dioxide snow on Mount Burroughs is a dazzling white pyramid. That's another surprise. Burroughs is 25,000 feet above mean datum. When I was a boy, there weren't supposed to be any mountains on Mars. The nearest sand dune is a quarter of a mile away, and it, too, has patches of frost on its shaded slope. During the last storm, we thought it moved a few feet, but we couldn't be sure. Certainly the dunes are moving, like those on Earth. One day, I suppose, this space will be covered, only to reappear again in 1,000 years. Or 10,000. That strange group of rocks, the elephant, the capital, the bishop, still holds its secrets and teases me with the memory of our first big disappointment. We could have sworn that they were sedimentary. How eagerly we rushed out to look for fossils. Even now we don't know what formed that outcropping. The geology of Mars is still a mass of contradictions and enigmas. We have passed on enough problems to the future, and those who come after us will find many more. But there's one mystery we never reported to Earth or even entered in the log. The first night, after we landed, we took turns keeping watch. Brennan was on duty and woke me up soon after midnight. I was annoyed. It was ahead of time. And then he told me that he'd seen a light moving around the base of the Capitol. We watched for at least an hour until it was my turn to take over. But we saw nothing. Whatever that light was, it never reappeared. Now Brennan was as level-headed and unimaginative as they come. If he said he saw a light, then he saw one. Maybe it was some kind of electrical discharge or the reflection of Phobos on a piece of sand-polished rock. Anyway, we decided not to mention it to Lunacom unless we saw it again. Since I've been alone, I've often awakened in the night and looked out toward the rocks in the feeble illumination of Phobos and Deimos. They remind me of the skyline of a darkened city, and it has always remained darkened. No lights have ever appeared for me. 12 hours, 49 minutes, ephemeris time. The last act's about to begin. Earth has nearly reached the edge of the sun. The two narrow horns of light that still embrace it are barely touching. Recorder on fast. Contact. 12 hours, 50 minutes, 16 seconds. The crescents of light no longer meet. A tiny black spot has appeared at the edge of the sun as the Earth begins to cross it. It's growing longer, longer. Recorder on slow. 18 minutes to wait before the Earth finally clears the face of the sun. The moon still has more than halfway to go. It's not yet reached the midpoint of its transit. It looks like a little round blob of ink, only a quarter the size of Earth, and there's no light flickering there anymore. Lunacom must have given up.